the Christmas story, I just go righteously crazy. The more I read it, sometimes I just have to back off and just say, God, there is so much here in these first two chapters of Matthew and so much in the first two chapters of Luke. And it's almost overwhelming because everything that we believe and do as full gospel, word, whatever you want to call us, charismatic people, is found here in the Matthew story and the Luke story of the birth of Christ. And it all really starts with Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. This is the way it was. The birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. This is the way it happened. And then it begins to unravel the appearance of angels. And we see Zacharias and Elizabeth. And we see people believing God for miracles. And angels appear. And then sometimes choruses of angels appear. There are dreams at night. There are miracles of God. Government said, we're going to kill every child 2 years and under. That's what the government said, because Herod was all tripped out about this fact that there could be another king potentially born in the kingdom at that time. And so, you know, isn't it something? In the day of Moses, they were killing babies. And in the day of the birth of Christ, they were killing babies. And that same thing is happening today. And that's one thing that I do thank God for, that anyone appointed to Supreme Court will be of the mindset to protect the unborn in the womb. And that to me was one of the great issues that we all faced. But really the Christmas story, it's a pattern for a powerful church. It's also a pattern for powerful believers. And I'd like to bring thoughts from Matthew chapter 1 and 2 and also Luke chapter 1 and 2. Certainly not exhausting either one of those portions of God's word. But as I looked at it, I realized I think I see it a little different than I've seen it before. This literally is a pattern or a manufacturer's handbook. You know, you buy a car, you buy anything that's of value, and there's some kind of directions there. And as you look at this, it's a pattern for a powerful church. Everything in this story, you say, well, Jesus has already been born. Yeah, but now we're celebrating the fact that he is born. You know, there was a time the prophet said, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And they said it all the way through the Old Testament. And people said, could the word of God ever come true? Could the word of the prophets ever come true? But thank God those words did come true. And let me tell you, every word that is truly of God will come true. Amen. There was a day when it was literally fulfilled. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And it's the pattern of Christmas that should be all year long in all of our lives, in us personally, in our church, and let me just dream a little bit, in our nation. You know, there was a time in this nation when in the Senate and in the House of Representatives, the politicians were not what we would call politicians. We'd think, well, you know, religion's a little heavy here, because they would come in and do business for the nation, and then one by one they would leave to go out for teaching seminars or preaching seminars. I mean, most of the people that were involved in the foundation of this nation were preachers and teachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, isn't that a thrilling thought? People that believe in God, people that believe in the Word of God, literally being in a Washington of that day and time. And why not? Amen. Why not? Now, there's several instances, there's several things that I want to call to your attention. What kind of a pattern is set? And so help me God, the desire of my heart has been since square one, day one, before we ever opened the doors of this church in 1964, to do the work in the ministry of God. A church that would be built on the Word of God. A church that would be built. Are we a perfect church? Didn't say that, because we're all here. The pattern for a New Testament church is a church that is built on the Word of God. I don't question the virgin birth. I don't question God the Father. I don't question the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I don't question the fact of the blessed Holy Spirit of God. You can say Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. I believe it. I don't question angels. We're not just head people. We're heart people. We're spirit people. We're people of God. So it's a church. We as individuals and the church itself should be built on the Word of God. On the Word of God. I know when we were talking with Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin before we started our church and had prayer with him on more than one occasion. And he said, you know, Brother Bob, he said, this has been a dream of mine to see faith people raising up churches. People just like, at that time, he said, you and your ministry. And he was very excited about that. I know he attended one time. He came many times, but we called our choir praise singers. And he got all fired up about that. In fact, it's on some of the older tapes that you'll hear him from time to time. And Brother Nichols Church, they have praise singers. They don't just have choir members, they have praise singers. Well, we're here to praise the Lord. And I've never forgotten that emphasis in that conversation. You know, in Luke, the first chapter, verse 14, you remember the words of the words that were spoken on that occasion. Be it unto me according to thy word. I cannot improve on that. No church, no minister, no ministry can improve on that. How is this going to happen? And when it was explained, she said, be it unto me according to the word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades away, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Why are we sitting in this room today? Because the Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. The Bible said that. I've heard some of these, I don't have a name for them, but anyway, trying to explain that away. He didn't say, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, as some believe that today. If there's no other way you can see it any way you can see it. Hear it any way you can hear it. But if it's possible for your feet and your vehicle and your heart to be together with a company of believers, we need one another. We need one another. And the New Testament church, they knew who their company was. And they returned to their own company. They knew where their house was spiritually. Praise God. Christians are just need to get back to the Word of God. Paul said in a church that is built on the Word of God, we're to preach the Word of God. We're not to preach book reports. We're not just to preach fairy tales or something off in the ozone. 2 Timothy 4:2. Paul said, Timothy, preach the word. Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. What are we supposed to do? Preach the word. Jesus was both a teacher and a preacher. It's in Holy Writ, more than one occasion. Jesus taught, but Jesus preached. And the Spirit of God was upon him to do that. Timothy, preach the word. When you preach, let it be the word. Don't just dwell on your thought, your idea, your version of what the gospel is all about. Preach the book. Preach the Bible. Preach the word. Preach what God said about any given subject. A church that is built on believing and preaching the Word of God, built on the Word of God. What you've heard this morning, we'll hit it in just a moment here, touch it in just a moment. We've been praising and worshiping God. That's scriptural. We've brought our tithes and offerings to the Lord. That's scriptural. We've talked about outreach, and that's the purpose of Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So God wants us to be a church that is built on the Word of God, believing and preaching and teaching that Word. God wants us to have a giving church. You know, I know there are always those that believe in hiding the offering bucket under the back seat. And it still amazes me that, that amazes me. I'm not ashamed of my giving to God. Now, if you ain't giving nothing, you may want the offering bucket hidden so no one will see you not giving. I don't know. And you say, well, God can direct people to the back pew or wherever it is. If you got it hidden on the fourth pew this Sunday and then you got it on the tenth pew the next. Yeah, I know God can do anything. But God wants us to give unto Him, not for show and go, but to give because God's Word said, I'm trying to get it to you. God's not trying to take it from us. God's getting it to us. Thank God for biblical offering teaching that teaches us what to do with our tithe and offering. We're not throwing our money away. We're not giving our money away. We're sowing every time we bring of tithe and offerings to the Lord. There's been one time since Joe and I have been married, and that was years ago. Boy, things were so tight, dear Lord. We were suffering from friction. That's one back payment rubbing up against another, you understand. And it was just tough. We were working on a church staff, and it was just tough. I mean, we've always tried to bless staff as best we can. But one day I would just say, Joe, we need to pray. We need some financial breakthrough. And she looked at me, and she never had done that before. She said, Bob, are we tithing? I'd rather her taking a 2x4 and just gone after me than. And I said, well, Joy, we can't afford to right now. And she said, oh, yes, we can. That's the problem right there. Amen. And that's the only time that ever happened. Only time that ever happened. Her preacher daddy instilled that in her very well. And, of course, my parents were tithers also. You know what? We started tithing. We couldn't afford it. It looked like it was total disaster at that moment. But so help me God, within 90 days, we were out of debt. And I got my Texaco card back. And we didn't lose the house. And, you know, our little house payment of $87.50. That's the whole smear, you know, insurance and. By the way, the average house cost, I believe it was $12,000 when we got married, around $12,000 in 1964 it was. That was a few years later. But what I'm saying is, you know, tithing is God's way, but you got to believe and you got to do it. Some people say, well, we tithe every once in a while. No, you don't tithe every once in a while. You tip every once in a while. Some people are more generous with a waitress or a server than they are with God. You do it uphill, downhill, good days, bad days, tough times, challenging times. But you do it in faith, believing. And God makes the difference. I said God makes the difference. I've been young and now I'm old. Not seeing the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging bread. So God wants us to be a giving people and a giving church. Praise be unto the Lord. Amen. I remember back in the revival of 93, things got real tight in the church, very tight in the church, very tight in the church. And we were in the arrears on a lot of things that were owing at that point. In fact, I believe I was leasing a car at that point, just let it go back, and I was driving the church van, and boy, that was a faith experience, because, you know, sometimes on church vans, people put a dent in it, but they never tell you, you know, we just don't know who in the world could have done a thing like that, you know. But, I mean, the bumper had a dent, and both sides had a dent. It was an old brown Dodge, and I was driving. That was our family car for a while. And you and Brother Rodney came in. He not only brought a spirit of joy and rejoicing, not only brought a spirit of joy and rejoicing, but the tithe and offerings came up. Praise the Lord. And when that revival was over, well, I'll never forget that. There was a silver town car with a red ribbon and bow around it outside the church one Sunday morning. And God blessed us at that point. You know, when there's hilarious giving, everything falls in place. It really is. The impossible becomes possible. And God is a miracle working God, and how we thank God for that. Amen. You see, God wants a church and us to attend a church where people can be saved. Why would you want to attend a church when you can't bring any of your friends there and get them saved? If you don't go fishing, you'll never catch a fish, right? You can just wish all day long, I'd sure like a trout or a bass or whatever, but you got to go fishing if you're going to catch a fish. And thank God, there's the occasional time when no one comes forward. No staff's job depends on whether someone comes forward or not. But you know, we found out that when you give altar calls, thank God people come forward and give their hearts to Jesus. If no one came, God would bless us for being faithful. If one comes, all of heaven rejoices. When several comes, you just create a revival in heaven, if that's possible. Praise the Lord. God wants it to be a church where you can be saved, where people can be saved, where your family can be saved. And I've given this illustration. It's one of the most precious things to me. I'll never forget on a Wednesday night when we gave four altar calls. That's insanity. I mean, you give an altar call, no one comes. You give another thorough altar call and no one comes. I preached, and that night I said, Brother Charlie, come back and give us another altar call. We had a third altar call, and I couldn't get away from it. I said, do it again. And on the fourth altar call, a woman comes forward from the back row, a woman whose life was in bondage to drugs and alcohol. 48 years of age, had lived a life of dissipation and sin. But she gave her heart to Jesus. She did an evangelistic tour about two or three blocks around her home, knocked on every door, witnessed to everyone and those in the neighborhood that knew her. She won some souls to Jesus because they knew what kind of a lifestyle, you know, what had happened with her. Do you know that 8 days later, she went home to be with Jesus, not on drugs. Her body was just worn out. Can you imagine going home to be with Jesus when you've evangelized your neighborhood? What a way to go. Praise God. Oh, mercy. Hallelujah. Four altar calls on a Wednesday night. You said, if you'd have been here, you'd have said, that Bob Nichols is crazy. I mean, that church is just over the edge, you know. They've lost contact with reality. Yeah, but we caught a good fish. Hallelujah. And it was worth the whole night. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. God wants us to be a church where people can be born again. One of the first things we did in outreach was to go out into the highways and hedges, outreach to the unreached, and We witnessed around 8,000 or 9,000 homes, two by two, during the Vietnam era. And we saw people come to Jesus. Saw one old man, 91 or 92 years of age, who had never been born again, two blocks from the Baptist seminary. We said, we might as well not even get within two or three blocks of the Baptist seminary. They've got everybody saved out there. But we found someone who wasn't. And that man's life made a difference. So you see, Jesus came to save his people from their sins. They brought gold and frankincense and myrrh to Jesus. They were wise men. And they were happy to share of that which God gave. And I don't know of anyone that would contradict this understanding that it was that gold and frankincense and myrrh that took care of Joseph and Mary and Jesus in that terribly trying period of time. God took care of them. Oh, I just heard a message from heaven. God told me to tell you, and whoever needs it's going to get it. God will take care of you. Your care package is on the way. Your blessing is on the way. I just heard a word from God. Rejoice. The answer to your prayer is on the way. Financial breakthrough is on the way. Praise God. Also, they were in prayer. Remember Zacharias, the Bible said, the whole multitude was outside the court praying. Praying. You know, I grew up around praying people. My mother, dear God, I thought, can we do something else besides pray and read the Word? And she did. She was a good, radically balanced Christian, and I kind of got taken in the same mold. Amen. Amen. But thank God, the angel came and said to the man of God, now he said, because you questioned it, you're not going to say anything until John is born, but your prayer is heard. Whoo, that's another word I just heard from heaven. Dear God, get a hold of what I'm saying. Your prayer is heard. I know there are people here that feel like God left town and has an unlisted phone number. Not so. Your prayer is heard. Your prayer is heard. For you, your family. Oh, Jesus. Man, that was just like an electrical shock. Your prayer is heard. God blesses praying churches. I know there's more to it. It's all of it. You've heard me preach for years. It's all of it. I believe in balance, but I believe in radical balance. It's all of it. It's all of it. You can't... It's not just prayer, it's all of it. Hallelujah. A praying church where prayer is a priority. When the book of Acts church prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. Praise be unto God. A place of prayer, a people of prayer, people that call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, another one that I love is a church where the Holy Spirit is welcome. A church where the Holy Spirit is welcome. I love to sing that chorus. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Who do we are and who do we think we are without the power of the Spirit? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, started his ministry in Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Man came up to me the other night. Well, let's see, today, Sunday, it was Wednesday night. God touched him in a miraculous way. And he looked at me. And I don't know what happened. I really don't know. But I mean, they were here and then they weren't here and haven't been here for some time. But God really touched him the other night, and he was so touched. He looked at me, he said, it's been so long since I've been in a church where I could be prayed for. It's been so long since someone's prayed for me in church. Are you listening to me? You need to be in a church that can pray for you. You need to be in a church that believes in the laying on of hands. Refer to him quite often because what a blessing Dr. Hagin was to our lives. But I remember in the little post office building when he came for one of the many meetings that he'd come yearly and then came downtown yearly and was scheduled to come here when he went on to be with the Lord. But he said, Brother Bob, I just want to talk to you. He said, you know, I know you've read church history. And he said, I've read church history. And he said, God's been dealing with me something, so I'm going to tell you something's going to start happening in these meetings and in your church. I said, well, tell me, Brother Hagin. He said, God instructed me that we're going to lay hands on people and they're going to start falling out in the spirit. I said, okay. That night we had a service. Hands were laid on people and they fell out in the spirit. And really not much of that was even among Word of Faith people. There was not that much that was happening in that vein at that time. And from that time until now, any minister who has ministered in this church, if you have an anointing on you, people respond. They respond to the Holy Spirit. There's a response in this house to the Holy Spirit because we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the laying on of hands. We believe in the anointing of God. Every service may not be the same, but we believe. We believe in the power of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and also in chapter 7, they were in such unity, they were in such harmony that the glory of God came down and the preacher couldn't even finish his message if he ever got started. The glory of God filled the house. God, you don't see many reports in churches nowadays about that type of thing, but I'll tell you, I welcome the glory of God filling the house. I saw the glory of God fill that little post office building. I saw the glory of God more than once in our downtown location before the storm moved us to where we are right now. I've seen the glory so thick you couldn't do anything except respond. And I've seen it a few times here, not in its fullness, but praise God, the greater glory is coming. We need God's glory in the house of God. We need God's power. We don't just need great preaching and great singing. We need the glory of the Lord, the power of God. It's the anointing that makes the difference. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the enemy. Boy, that's something else I believe that's coming. I'll tell you, Christ is bigger than the big C of cancer. There's something in my spirit that just has risen up. I'm sick and tired of the end time belch of hell, of drugs and of cancer. Amen. Jesus is a cancer killer. The power of God is a cancer healer. But you need to be claiming that every day of your life. I said you need, I do. Every day of my life for myself and my family, I speak to any spirit of cancer. It's an end time attack of the enemy. It's taken far too many precious people out. You know, heaven's not all bad, you understand? Heaven's wonderful. But we need you to stay here and help us finish the job. Oh my, where was I? A praying church. Church where the Holy Ghost is welcome. It's been so long since I've been in a service or a church where hands were laid on me. About that time, God spoke to me and said, lay hands. I laid hands. Man, he went down like a shot cat. The power of God was present. The power of God was present. Folks, it's not by might, our might. It's not by our power, but it's by the Spirit of God. It's by the Spirit of God. That's our DNA. That was the early church. That was the early churches of this nation. There's nothing uncommon for the Methodist Church or the Episcopal Church or the Presbyterian Church for people to fall out under the power. I said, why do they fall out? Because they can't stand up. What does the doctor do? Stand up here while I do serious surgery on you? You missed that one. No, they put you on a table. And they said, this won't take long, and that's the last thing you remember. You know, and you woke up, and they said, you're okay. It's amazing how the Spirit of God can touch you when you're doing some carpet time and the power of God's at work in your life. Get anything out of the Word of God? Hey, this is all the Christmas story. A church with anointed praise and worship. The Bible said there was a host a heavenly host that sing glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Hallelujah. It's not our great voices. It's not our great talent. Glory to God. It's glory to Him. Not glory to me. Glory to you. It's glory to God. In the highest. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. It's the only way our world's going to have peace. We want peace. Let me tell you. There's no peace without the Prince of Peace. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Oh, a couple of more here. Hey, this is all part of the Christmas story, that God wants to be a pattern for the church, and God wants it to be a pattern for our daily life. He wants a pattern of praise and worship. He wants a pattern of healing. He wants a pattern of the Word of God. You need, if you don't have it, you need to get a CD or whatever your car plays, and instead of just listening to so much news that depresses you, you need to put some praise and worship on in your car. On your way to church, things get a little funny and maybe a little squabble starts to try to come. Just pop in a praise and worship and let the glory of God calm things down. Amen. Well, God wants us to be a church anointed with praise and worship. Praise God. You know, you can praise God at home. Praise and worship's not confined to the sanctuary or to the house of God. You can praise God at home. Hallelujah. You can walk around with your hands up in the air. Who's going to stop you? You can sing praises unto God. You can sing in the shower. No one's going to judge you or critique you for singing the high praises of God in your shower. That's your business. Do it. Praise God. Instead of saying, oh my God, say, oh my God. Hey, hallelujah. Oh, let the joy of the Lord flow. Let the joy of the Lord flow. You know, a church where children and youth are ministered to. A church where children and youth are ministered to. You know, there were two outstanding ministries that came out of the Christmas story. Jesus and John the Baptist. I'd never thought of that before. Two very outstanding ministries came out of the Christmas story. Jesus Christ. You know, he once was a baby. You remember that. And John was a baby. How many kids do we have here tonight? Some of you are still acting like kids. But anyway, we're all ex-kids here today. We're all ex-babies. But babies grow up if they're healthy. Amen. You know, I just think of what the Word of God says. Train up a child. Oh, Lord, should I? Don't let the video train your child. Don't let the telephone train your child. Don't let the iPad train your child. Church, I beg of you. There's parents. Someone said, well, my kid just, they go in their room and I don't have a clue what's going on. You better get a clue what's going on. That went over like a lead balloon, but I. Train up a child. You don't just turn them loose like wild geese. Train them up. He said, well, I just wouldn't. Check my child's room. Oh, dear God. I wish my mama could preach here about 30 days. I couldn't sneak around and do anything. I'll tell you, the Holy Ghost revealed that to her. What about this, son? Oh, no, no, mama, no, no. What about this? Hama, 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 hama. All right, on your knees, son. We're going to pray about this. Oh, praise God. Didn't kill me. It helped me. A church where children are ministered to. A church where children are taught the things of God. Train up a child in the way they should go. And you know what's so amazing? Kids would come to Jesus who didn't need healing. I mean, a lot of people came to Jesus just because they thought they were going to die if they didn't get healing. But you know, kids came to Jesus and wanted to sit in his lap. I've got some very special kids around this church. And boy, when they come around, I feel real special. There's some that people have gotten in cars. They said, no, I haven't said hello to pastor yet. So everybody gets out of the car and come back in. You say, is that a nuisance? No, that's a blessing beyond expression. It may be a fast high five, or it may be a quick hug or whatever. But I tell you, thank God, I want children to love the house of God. Children need to be taught to love their man of God, their pastor. Amen. We need each other. A church where children are very important. We teach the children. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Suffer. Don't forbid them to come unto me. My. And I've already touched on a church where we experience the glory of the Lord. Amen. But you know, there's one other thing I think I need to mention, and I'll just finish some of it later on. All this is the Christmas story. Read the Christmas story with an honest heart. Matthew chapter 1 and 2 and Luke chapter 1 and 2. I mean, there's just one verses that'll set you off. You can spend a day on one verse in the Christmas story. It talks about being filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, we still believe that, don't we? And then, of course, going into the earthly ministry of Jesus, we see what you do when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And then the Pauline epistles explain to us what who we are and what we have because we're full of the Holy Ghost. So really, the seeds that were planted and spotlighted in the Christmas story is really the pattern for everyday life for a believer. Did I say that right? So this is not just a quick story on Christmas morning. We say it and then eat turkey. That's not what it's all about, honey. The Christmas story is a pattern for every day of our life. It's the pattern for the church. It's the pattern for the ministry. I know there are other wonderful portions of God's Word. The whole Word is good. But when you read the Christmas story, I mean, I just get lost when I see that great company of angels just appearing. Whoa! Glory to God in the highest. Peace. I just want to rapture with them. Praise God. Don't leave without me. Amen. Sing on, angels. Sing on. Folks, when we come to wring every drop of blessing and anointing you can when you come to church. Don't you dare come in here and be in a hurry to get out of here the best way and the quickest way. Get all you can. Oh, let the healing power flow. Let the joy flow. Let the anointing flow. Let the thank God's and the thanksgivings flow. Be thankful that you've been delivered from your sin. This world's going to burn up, honey. Everything that's near and dear, it's just a matter of time. But oh, thank God, what we're rejoicing in today, we'll be rejoicing throughout the endless ages of eternity. And you know, I appreciate the joy and the gladness and the rejoicing that has come, the emphasis that is coming, and God uses certain ministries stronger than he does others. But you know, this pulpit, more than one ministry, Kenneth Hagin for one, Kenneth Hagin leaned over this pulpit, and there was a lot of him to lean over a pulpit with. He was a big man, and he was a man of large stature. For almost 2 hours downtown, on this side, I can still see Kenneth Hagin across this pulpit laughing hilariously for 2 hours. The joy of the Lord is on him. 2 hours! 2 hours! And he wasn't the only one and hasn't been the only one. Praise God. What I'm saying is God wants us to enjoy the journey. Church is not something you endure, it's something you enjoy. Hallelujah. It's a place where people are born again, saved, delivered, set free. It's a place where God shows you how to get out of that financial poverty mentality. It's a place that hastens the soon return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Christmas story. It's a revival story. It's an outpouring of the Holy Ghost story. It's an angel story. It's a miracle story. It's a hope story. It's a faith, hope, and love story. Thank God for the Christmas message. Stand to your feet if you will. Praise be unto God. That's good. Hallelujah. Is there a hallelujah from this side of the house? Is there a hallelujah from this side of the house? Is there a hallelujah from this side of the house? I wonder if I've got some 5-minute people that would say, by the grace of God, this is going to be the most joyous Christmas season of my life. I wonder if you'd just come and have a final shout with me here this morning. Glory to God. We're going to lift our hands. We're going to praise our God together. In the name of Jesus. No blues here. No sad song. Oh, it's time to rejoice, church. Lift your hands and rejoice. Hallelujah. Oh, lift up your hands and rejoice. Let the joy of the Lord flow like a mighty river. Oh, let the joy of the Lord roll. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Riba bari anda la 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 bari. Oh, let your voice rejoice. Let your voice rejoice. Let your voice rejoice. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know if you need it or not, Christian, but God told me to tell you, your heart is healed. Your mama wouldn't come back. She would not. No way. She would not come back. She's where she planned on being over those years. Hallelujah. I just wanted to share with you what God. Rejoice. Our loss is her gain. Hallelujah. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King.